Hey, my name is Gordon Canada. I'm a pastor of Linwood Japanese Church, and this workshop is Cultural Barrier to Belief. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for coming, and this is my first workshop to do, and my English is broken, and I haven't fixed yet, so if you don't understand, just feel free to interrupt. Everybody has a note? Yes? Okay, sure.
I hope it's enough for the next one, too.
Oh. I'll just put some here.
Where's
the one you have for the next one?
Yeah. I printed 30, but... Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Is there a photocopier somewhere? Just in case.
You see how it goes, and then
My name is Gordon Canada. I'm a pastor of Linwood Japanese Church. Linwood is about 20 minutes north of here, and I have one wife and four boys. And my wife is screaming and yelling right now at 4 foot right now. We've been here for about just over 2 years. We lived in Canada for 7 years before that to go to seminary, and God led us here to start a new Japanese church. And we are the only Japanese church on the north side of Seattle. So God has been blessing us.
Great.
Well, this workshop is titled Cultural Barrier. Did I pronounce that right? Barrier to Belief. And, as Pastor Kuroda said, both economically and technologically, Japan has been one of the leading countries in the whole entire world. And they are no longer closed islands. And they have been importing so many foreign ideas, cultures, especially the Western cultures and ideas, I guess. But still, they are counted as one of the three most difficult people groups to reach the gospel, along with Muslims and Hindus. And I wonder why. They're so open to the foreign ideas, but not to Christianity. But there are Christians in Japan, thanks to all the missionaries from all over the world. And there are many Christians in churches in Japan, but the population is still less than 1% of the whole population. Average size of the Japanese church would be approximately 40 people. And according to the survey done by a Christian newspaper in Japan, as of May 2004, there were about 104 more churches than the previous year, which is a good thing. They're planting churches, so there are more churches. But on the other hand, average attendance and the number of the members of churches are decreasing. So yes, there are more churches, but the whole Christian population is not really growing. And also Christian churches, they are struggling to grow. And I always wonder why. And in this workshop, we're going to look at the barriers that is hindering people to come to know the Lord and also to grow as Christians. So we're going to see the both sides to it. Okay? Something that is blocking people from coming to know the Lord and, blocking the way to grow as Christians. So we're going to start with three barriers to becoming a Christian. Now, there are three barriers. Number one is barriers of ignorance. And I have two key questions that is commonly asked. One is, who is God anyway? Who is God anyway? Here it says, when we mention God, it could mean any God in Japanese. The longer we are Christians, when we say God, the more normal to image or picture the one and only God. But for Japanese people, they wouldn't know which God it is because they have over 8 million gods in Japan. So here's the sum of the list. You know, list of some of gods here: god of war, god of water, god of business, god of food, god of romance, god of health, god of farming, god of education, god of safety, god of violence, god of life or pregnancy, childbearing. You know, these are mostly connected with Shintoism. And there are also animism. There are spirit of mountains, spirit of ocean, spirit of trees, spirit of fields, and so on. And on the right hand column, these are the forms of God they have. Some gods are in the forms of horse head, fox, raccoon, cat, fish, dragon. And it's sometimes unbelievable to actually worship these kinds of things, but they do. And especially in this urban setting, in the cities, there are strong materialism. It's not nothing new, but it's also here in North America, but in Japan it's very, very strong because of the little religious background. So these are their gods. And when we talk about God, when we introduce God and say, hey, God loves you, we think our God loves us and loves you. But you'll never know what they think. You know, they may think of Buddha, they may think of one of these gods. And for spiritual laws, I use for spiritual laws. Anybody not familiar with for spiritual laws? Everybody knows it? Okay, that's a great tool for evangelism, and we do use it in Japan. We have the Japanese translation version. But do you remember what the number one law is? What was the number one law? The first law of the four spiritual laws.
God loves you.
God loves you. There you go. See, that's the beginning point of four spiritual laws. But we can't simply start there. No, we have to explain which God, what kind of God we're talking about. Because if we just start with God loves you and go move on, maybe you, both of us are thinking about different gods till the end. And you'll never see a good outcome from that. So, how do we deal with this? As I mentioned, explain which God we're talking about. And it's better to use their terms. Okay? Did I write it here? Yeah. I've got this example. For the farmers in rural Japan, you know, we can say, you know, the God who created the sky and the mountain and the field, you know, they're familiar with it. They're farmers. They're, you know, working under the sky by the mountains on the field. So we can say, use that kind of term. That's what we used to say when we went to rural area and helped out rural churches go out and distribute tracts and stuff. We didn't just say we're introducing God. We would say we're introducing God who created these beautiful mountains in the sky and the field. So that might connect, be able to connect you and them better. So this is a simple thing, but you know, we can miss a lot by not explaining who God is. One verse that reminds me of this is 1 Corinthians 9:20, where Paul says, when I am with the Jews, I become one of them so that I can bring them to Christ. When I am with those who follow the Jewish laws, I do the same, even though I am not subject to the law, so that I can bring them to Christ. If you go to any foreign countries, there are foreign cultures, foreign customs. It's really better to know their culture and stand on their field and use their terms instead of just standing back, hey, your culture is different, and all your culture is wrong. This kind of attitude will never draw people into Christ. But if we understand their culture, if we know their culture and use their terms, that will help much, much better. So that was the first barrier of ignorance. And the next key question is, what is Christianity anyway? This is the second question Japanese would ask. What is Christianity anyway? Not many Japanese have knowledge, good knowledge about Christianity. Okay? Here in North America, many people know about what Christianity is about, not totally, but you know, they don't miss a mark a lot. But for Japanese, frankly, with all due respect, most people don't know much about Christianity. And first of all, they think it's a Western religion when it's really Eastern. You know? They think it's an American religion, right? And they're Japanese, they think Shintoism and Buddhism are their own religion. Well, Buddhism is not, but they think it's theirs. Right? So many Japanese say, well, that's, you know, when they hear about Christianity or the Bible or the Gospel, they say, well, that's not for me, I'm Japanese. Or I'm a Buddhist, so that's not for me. Whenever people say I'm a Buddhist, well, maybe you can throw some questions and you'll find out they have no clue what they meant. You know, they don't practice Buddhism. They think they're Buddhist because their parents are Buddhist, you know, because they have this family altar in their living room, they think they're Buddhist. But they don't really know about Buddhism. They don't really practice Buddhism. If you go to rural areas, it's a little bit different, but in the cities, that's mostly the case. And because they think Christianity is a foreign religion, even though they understand the good thing about Christianity, they still say, well, it's still not for me. And the other aspect is many Japanese think, you know, they have limited and often incorrect understanding of Christianity, which means when they think about Christianity, they think the negative. If I become a Christian, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. You know, those negative impressions they have. They do have positive, such as, well, Christians are pure, Christians are good. So many parents want to send their children to Christian school, even though they have no intention of going to the church. You know, so if they know it's good for their kids, but for them, once I become Christian, I can't do this. You know, this negative impression is pulling them back from coming to know the Lord. And here are some questions and comments I've heard. My friends actually asked me this question: can Christians eat meat? And can Christians drink coffee? So they're mixed with Muslims, they're mixed with Mormons, you know. So for them, foreign religion is in the whole one package. Foreign religion, you know, oh, they can't eat these, they can eat pork, you know, those kind of things. And they know the word Catholic, but they don't know the word Protestant. So some people say, are you up whatever. They can't even say it. You know, that's their understanding. That's the level of knowledge for many Japanese people. And when I told my friend I'm going to be a pastor, many friends asked me, well, but can pastor be married? So that's the level of knowledge of many Japanese people. And these incorrect understanding, the prejudice, is keeping them away from coming to the church or even having an interest in Christianity. So how can we deal with this? Well, I'd say friendship evangelism. Preaching doesn't really help much. Friendship evangelism is you become friends first, and they'll see Jesus in you. And then they'll start asking questions. You know? That takes time, but that is the most effective way to let them understand what Christianity is all about, what Christ is, who Christ is, and what it means to be Christian. Okay? Because how in the world wouldn't take this prejudice away? Okay? How in the world wouldn't make him non-Buddhist? Okay? But if they see something different in you, and they'll start thinking, oh, why is this guy so different? Why is this guy so happy when they're in so tough situations? I have a friend who is doing a Muslim ministry in Indonesia. I think she was still in Indonesia. They are living in Muslim communities. They don't go to church because there's no church. And they don't say they're Christians because people are going to kill them. Okay? But they're just living in Muslim country, community, and they're doing whatever people do. They're adapting all the Muslim culture there. But they don't worship Muslim God, of course, but they live like Muslims. They don't eat pork. They respect all the customs there. And they invite their neighbors. And someday, you know, people start asking, why are you so nice to us? And then this guy says, well, because I love you. Why do you love me? Because Jesus loves you. That's the beginning point for them to reach out to those Muslims. And like I said, Japanese, Muslims, both three most difficult people groups, we can use the same tactic. Just live with them, not to judge them because they're wrong, not to judge them because they don't know, not to try to teach them, but just to show them what Christianity is. That's very, very effective. I believe many Japanese people in North America are more open to going to church, more open to the gospel, just because they see many Christians around. They see many Christian Americans around. They sometimes, those students, they go to church with whole family. They see so many Christians full of joy. And so they become open to Christianity because they are experiencing, they are seeing what Christianity is all about. But in Japan, they don't see many Christians. They have no clue what Christianity is about. And there's no way they can know what Christianity is all about. So, we have to show them what Christianity is all about. And like we're now talking about people coming to know the Lord, but even after they come to know the Lord, it's still foreign. Many teachings of the Bible are still foreign, such as, concept of relationship with Christ. For many Japanese people, religion is a teaching, moral teaching. You have to obey this, you have to do this, but the Bible says, faith is all about relationship with Christ. So it's hard for them to understand that concept. And again, many fellow Christians can show them. And preaching thousand words, they can have head knowledge, but they still don't know how to live in relationship with Christ. But if we can show them, it'll help them grow. So friendship evangelism, I believe, that is the key to this cultural barrier. Okay, am I talking too fast? Okay. All right. Are you understanding everything I'm saying? Okay, good. Okay, second barrier is barrier of family. That's in page 2. And the key question is, what about grandma? Okay? That means people worship ancestors. Maybe they don't know they're worshiping, but they are worshiping ancestors. And it's very important for the family. And people say, when I become Christian, what about, my grandma? Because many people think you have to cut off all those ties. Because at the church, they teach you can't worship anything but God. You have to stop worshiping ancestors with the Buddhist style. They have this family altar in the living room, and there's this wooden piece of wood. Have you ever seen Butsudan? What that is? Yeah, family altar. Yeah. There's this grandma or grandpa or whoever's picture in it, and there's this piece of wood, and there's a new name for that, the law, okay, the disease. Okay, I think it's Buddhist priest or something give them a new name, and they buy those names for $1,000 or something like that. No wonder those priests are rich, but anyway. And they worship them, they offer incense to those every day, and some people they bring bowl of rice every morning and present it, in front of them. Whenever the guest brings a cookie or whatever goodies, they bring it, place on the altar before they even open it. And when I was a child, I always wondered, who is eating those? Because those bowl of rice sometimes is full of dust because it's there for weeks, And some kids get in trouble because they ate those cookies. but that's what they do. And even at the funeral and also memorial service, they have memorial service a year later, it's like an anniversary kind of thing. A year later, they have memorial service, 3 years, 5 years. And every time they do, they offer incense, pick up incense, light it, and put it, and pray to the ancestors. And they also visit graveyard occasionally, they probably once a year, as a family. And they go, they bring flowers, and they offer this stick of incense. So that's what they do in ancestor worship. And when people get to know about the Bible, you know, first thing one of the things that they ask is, well, can I still worship my grandma or grandpa? And the common answer would be, well, I'm sorry, but no. Okay? And they'll walk away. Or even they still, you know, debate what to do, and they talk to their family, and the family would be so upset because it's so important for the family, and this child of mine is talking about Christianity, Christian faith, and he or she says they can't do that anymore. And that's very, very upsetting for the family. And this child would stay away from the church for a while, and then maybe they will come back. That's often the case. And one of the students who came to know the Lord last year, she shared testimony here, but at the baptism. At the baptism, she shared with us, first when she thought about being baptized, she thought she couldn't be Japanese anymore. She had to cut off all the Japanese culture to be a Japanese, to become a Christian. And maybe that's a common response for many Japanese people. Maybe if I become a Christian, since that's a foreign religion, maybe I can't be Japanese anymore. Maybe I can't enjoy this Japanese culture anymore. So this is a very, very tough culture to deal with as a Christian. But in my home church in Japan, we once did this burning Butsudan event. Butsudan is, again, this family altar where you worship ancestors. When people become to know the Lord, and they still have Butsudan, and they were, you know, struggling. What should I do with this Butsudan? I know I shouldn't worship this, but, well, you know, but I can't keep it here, but I can't throw it away because it's my ancestors. And I think it was our missionary at that point suggested, okay, let's bring it together and burn them. It's just piece of wood. Okay? Well, of course, he explained everything. So they did. It was a great time. But when I told this story to people in my church right now, one of the ladies who recently came to the Lord, know the Lord, she was like, oh. She just couldn't understand. You burned the Butsudan? So I had to explain a little bit, but she was like, that's an insult. Well, that's a common response, reaction for Japanese people. So how can we deal with this? Well, this is tough because you can just, you know, tell them face to face, you have to give it up. Well, you have to explain, and did I write that down here? Yeah. Let them know that they can still remember and respect your ancestors without worshiping. Okay? That's the key point, because worshiping the form isn't very important. It's your heart. It's about her heart. So explain them, and explaining what they shouldn't do at the funeral or memorial service or at the graveyard, but at the same time explain what they can do. Okay? This is not just about culture, but every time we explain to people what we cannot do, it's important that we explain what you can do. That's what Paul says. You know, Paul, when he says, don't do this, do not do this, instead, he says, be loving or whatever. You know, he always comes back to the positive. So we can use that. For example, instead of giving incense, they can stand there, like when you give incense, you form a line and take turns, you know, and place incense, pray, and go, and the next person So you can get in the line, you can stand there in front of the altar, but you don't have to, you know, give any offering instead. You just stand there, pray for the family, and go. Like, people are not closely watching everybody. Okay, so you can do that. Instead of feeling guilty about not worshiping ancestors, they can boldly explain to the family why they will not or they cannot participate. But again, the same strategy here. But make sure they show, they explain that they feel sorry for the family, they still show respect, they still have respect, and they show their compassion for the family. So, try to tell them not to just stay away from that. Make sure you explain to the family in a positive way. In that way, well, many families don't take it offense. And instead of not going to the graveyard once a year with the family, that would offend your family. But they can go and clean up the tombstone, okay? Because that's part of what they do when they visit graveyards. They clean the tombstone, place a flower, and give incense. One of the other students who came to know the Lord went back to Japan last year. They went to the graveyard. And she explained everything, and she was just cleaning the tombstone. And like, he was pitch clean, he was shining, and her mom was very, very impressed. So, that's what they can do. So, you know, this is one of the strategies we can use to explain the positive. Explain the positives as you explain the negatives. All right. Any questions so far? Okay.
I have a question. So, in other classrooms, do they do some form of ancestor worship in the village for the years? Is that why the classroom is still going to be a little bit
clean? Right. Like, why do you go to the graveyard? What do you do at the graveyard? Yeah, when you go to the graveyard, it's a form of respect and to the ancestors, you clean. It's just once a year event, so it's sometimes both. There's mold, there's dirt, and so you clean the tombstone, place the flowers. Sometimes they bring alcohol and goodies and have a little bit of feast there, but. And they give incense, they pray for the tombstone, which they send to the ancestors. So that's what they do in the graveyard. So it's tough when you are the only Christian in the family. And especially you are the child, it's tough to be there and not participate. So there's a pressure issue as well. So some Christians, they boldly say, no, I'm not going because I'm Christian to the family. Well, you can say that, but that's not a very positive way if you want to really share the gospel with the family. Okay? So, well, it all depends on what kind of family you have. If you go, they'll make you do certain things. Then maybe you can take several different steps. But.
Pastor, if I might offer some insight, I was living in Japan, and my youngest daughter married a Japanese man who was Christian, but his mother was not. And she's an elderly woman. She lives in the countryside. So the grave site is very close to her home. It's like the village grave site. And she would go at least once a week to the grave site, maybe more often, because that was her spouse, her husband.
Right.
And so it's rather illogical to us. And if they think about it, it's rather illogical, because if I'm worshiping his spirit in the Butsudan on the new name plaque, yet I go to the grave site where his ashes are, and I worship him there too, where is he?
Exactly.
But they don't think about that. They're right. Showing this respect. So she would bring fresh water, fresh flowers, some rice, his favorite beer, put it in a backpack, go up into the mountains, and she would clean the gravesite, sweep it, pour water over the stones and clean it, and then give him some fresh sake, fresh rice. And this was a form of worship to him. But she became a Christian through a children's Christian book from Campus Crusade, the Jesus Stone. So she still goes to the gravesite And over a period of time, she will understand that I can still go clean and she'll respect him, but bringing him food and beer and so on is foolishness. And she will stop that practice. So we have to be patient with them,
right,
either before they're a believer and after they're a believer, because they have done this. She's 72 years old when she became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been doing this all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when she left Japan to come here to live with my youngest daughter, the butsudan, what should I do? Well, burning it was too traumatic. And so she decided we would give it back to the Buddhist, to the priest, to the local Buddhist, you know, priest. But at the last minute, the oldest son said I would take it to my home. Now, unfortunately, it's still in the family.
Mm-hmm.
But at least she found an alternative to it. It was not a shock to her, you know,
okay,
and it was not traumatic to the family.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Awesome. All right. And you had something?
No,
okay. Okay. Well, thanks for the story. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Okay, so those are the three barriers to becoming a Christian. Well, of course, there are a lot more, but these are just a part of it. And the next three are barriers to grow as Christians. Okay, even though people become Christians, they're struggling to grow. Why is that? Number one would be various Japanese characteristics. Where is God? Okay, where is God? We have terms of respect. We call it keigo, and this we use this for God, of course, because of the reverence and awe. And this can create a distant God instead of friendly God who resides in me. Okay, I have to explain about keigo here. When Japanese talk to older persons or people in a higher position in authority, they use keigo to show respect. And of course, the God as an expression of reverence and respect, they naturally use keigo. Now, what is this keigo? Let's say, okay, compare these two conversations. Number one would be, "Hey man, how you doing?" Okay? And number two would be, "Hello sir, how do you do?" Okay? Of course, some of you wouldn't say, "Hello, how you doing?" But, but which would you feel friendlier? The first one or the second one? Oh, yeah. First one, right? "Hey man, how you doing?" Okay? But this "Hello, sir, how do you do?" That's the keigo I'm talking about. And probably Americans use terms of respect too when you talk to the president, right? You don't say, "How are you, George?" Unless you really know him. Right? Instead, you would probably say, "How are you, Mr. President?" And you wouldn't say, "Well, lower the tax, will ya?" Instead, you would say, "Could you please kindly, with all your power, lower the tax?" Even though you would know the answer. But after those conversations, you wouldn't feel like you became a really real friend to George Bush, too. He's still the president, I'm only the civilian. Okay? He wouldn't remember me. Right? That's the feeling that is with you after the conversation. In the same way, when Japanese use keigo to God, people don't feel God as friendly and close as many Americans do. Interestingly, Americans, or North Americans, I should say, or English-speaking, they use a little bit more friendlier language to God. And I really like that. When I first came to Canada, I went to the Canadian church for worshiping, and I heard their prayer. I sang those songs, and those languages were very ordinary. You know, the languages we use every day. And it's very friendly language, and it's somewhat casual, not too casual, but somewhat casual, and it really made me feel God is really here, and God is my friend. But if you go to Japan, if you see Japanese church Sunday service, it's very quiet, there's a lot of reverence
Okay? The sense of reverence and awe is there. They are sitting quietly, and nobody carries in coffee or anything. They just, sit quietly and they sing hymns, which is, kind of formal version of these contemporary songs. But they're so quiet throughout because they think that that's a respect. And if you use the casual language to God, they sometimes think that's an insult to God. So they use kegel. And whenever you use kegel, God is going to be all, up on the throne. He is the king. He is the emperor. You do need these kind of sense of Christians. He is God. He is the mighty king. He is the holy one. We are nothing in front of him. If you read Revelation chapter 4 and 5, those 24 elders, what do they do? They go and hug and kiss Jesus. No. God is on the throne. They just kneel down. They put their golden crowns before him. That's a reverence and awe. So that's important. But at the same time, Jesus is our friend. And the Holy Spirit is living in me. So we need a balance that this kegel is all about this Revelation 4 and 5, which makes God higher, distant God. So this is not wrong, but it's still creating some barriers for many Christians to grow, because if you don't really feel God is close to you, you don't get to know God more. And if you don't get to know God more, you can't grow, right? So what can we do? How can we deal with this? Here, honestly, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have written this, but at my church, I keep my language as simple as possible, as casual as possible, not to the point where people feel I'm insulting. But I don't overuse kegel, okay? And I do respect those kegel as a reverence and respect for God. But I encourage people to pray informally. Some people just pray at the church using the formal language. But when you're praying alone, I'll pray in an informal language. And that's all I do. But I show examples by not overusing kegel. And here it's easier because in our church we do use English songs too, and English expression is more friendlier. So maybe we can keep balance here in North America, but if you go back to Japan, not many churches are using contemporary worship songs. There's still only hymns where they use kind of King James version of Japanese. So, and most pastors, they are overusing kegel as a showing of respect. So, it's tough to break this barrier, but again, if we can show them, as I mentioned before, it might be able to break down. And the next key question is, where is joy? Generally speaking, Japanese are shy. I'm one of them. And they don't show emotions in a public place. Well, they're not used to show emotion in public place. For us Japanese, North Americans are happy, cheerful. They like parties. They are expressive. They show their emotions. When they're happy, they say, wow, yeah! Right? When Japanese are happy, oh, I'm so thankful. So it's a different way of expressing their emotions, but this is sometimes a barrier for people to come to know the Lord and people to grow as Christians. Why? Well, because of that, church atmosphere is very different, just as I said, it's quiet, right? It's very, well, if you go to Pentecostal charismatic church, they are a little bit louder, but most Japanese evangelical churches, they are often quiet, unless the pastor is partying. And see, the quietness makes serious atmosphere, and you can feel little joy in them. Maybe they're smiling. Maybe they're smiling, but it's just a smile, and it's different from overflowing joy. You know what I mean? And let me show you an example here. One of the ladies went back to Japan for about a week or so last year, and she came back, and her expression was very interesting because, you know, you go to Japanese church, and people are like, but if you come back and go to American church, people are, wow, praise the Lord and stuff. You know, this is a very different atmosphere. You step into American church, people are smiling, laughing, praising the Lord. If you go to Japanese church, they're quiet, they're praising the Lord but silently. You know what I mean? And here, North Americans, they can jump, they can hug. You know, people, Japanese don't. They don't jump, they don't hug in the public place. This is the key, in the public place. If you observe them very carefully, in an informal setting, they do laugh their head off. But in the church, they don't. And I think that is the problem. So I don't know how can we deal with this. I tend to let them explain and let them see the difference of the way they express their emotions. Okay? When you're talking with your friends, you're laughing your head off. Laughing out loud. And if you see somebody you haven't seen for a long time, especially with the girls, the young girls, they would say, ah! Stop it! I haven't seen you for a long time! They do that. But they come to church and they say, praise the Lord. Why is it so different? You know? Why does God see all of that? You're expressing joy there, but not here in front of me. Why? Right? So I try to show them the difference and encourage them to release the emotion. This is a challenge for Japanese people because they haven't, they didn't grow up that way. Okay? In the public place, you act like all others do. That's the way they educate the students. So we grow up in that kind of atmosphere. So when people from Japanese people who live in North America go back to Japan, they feel odd because they're more expressive a little bit, and they're talkative, they express their feeling, they say their opinion, where Japanese people usually don't. So encourage them to release their emotions, but again, you have to show them that. Okay? You need to show them. As a pastor, it's a challenge for me because I was quiet. Well, I do talk a lot, but I was quiet in front of people. I didn't really, I don't raise hands. I just, well, sometimes I do recently, but I don't raise hands when I'm singing. And I grew up in a church like that, quiet church. You don't raise hands when you're singing kind of church. So I'm a quiet, kind of traditional type of Christian, but I'm trying to release my emotion more and more. I'm pushing myself a little bit. But if you are a leader or if you're leading somebody to grow or to cry, you need to show them how you can express your feelings. Okay? So that's what we can do. And it's not that their way of expression is wrong. But when young people come to church, if it's really quiet, if it's everybody is serious, they don't see it very attractive. Okay? You watch TV show, it's all about laughter. Okay? It's all about fun. They love partying. They come to church. You have to stay quiet. It's not very fun to do it. No? And that becomes a barrier. And young people, if you want to attract young people, you have to make an atmosphere where they're used to. Okay? And if they can see joy. In a quiet setting, in a Japanese church setting, you cannot see joy. Maybe you will be able to hear joy, but you can't see joy. And the seeing is believing. We need to show them the joy. And we need to teach them to show their joy. Because God is watching and people are watching. So that's one of the things that we can deal with. Okay, we're on the last part. Where's my support? This is very pressure. Okay, Japanese Christians are the minority. Apparently, we are less than 1% of the whole population. When they go to work, when they go to school, when they hang out with their friends, it's very common, it's very normal to be the only Christian in the group. I was in a Christian high school, and it was an Anglican high school. And Anglican in Japan are not really Christian. They are very ritualistic, they are just traditional. So I did see some Anglican students, fellow students, but we had about 450 students in one grade. I only knew one Christian who happened to come to my church. We went to high school together. So he was the only fellow Christian I had in 450 students. And that's very normal. And many Christians are discouraged in this world because they are the minority. Being minorities, many Christians feel discouraged to boldly share their faith, and sometimes even to act like Christians because nobody is supporting around you. Here in North America, if you share the faith, you may have some people say, "Yeah, I go to church too," right? But in Japan, you will almost never see that happening. You will jump and surprise and, you know, maybe hug that stranger if you know he's a Christian. So it's tough in that kind of situation to boldly share the faith and even act like Christian, where everybody else is saying yes to the Sunday party and you're the only one who has to say no. It's really tough. And even in their homes, Many children, many wives, they are the only Christians in home. So what happens is, especially for new Christians, Sunday at the church is the only place where they can meet other Christians. For 6 other days, they don't see any Christians at all. But for new Christians to grow, you need to see some fellow Christians to be encouraged and to learn. And you need to really talk. A fellowship with fellow Christians on a daily basis. But in Japan, that seldom happens. So that's tough. And so how can we deal with this? Apparently, we cannot make them majorities for now. So somehow they need to learn to live as minorities. Here are things what we can do. Encourage them to be involved in peer Christian groups during the week. There are many groups, churches, men's group, youth group, women's group, and there's a VIP club in Japan, that's a businessman's group. I don't know if they allow other women in there too? Working men, right? Okay. Oh, okay, working people. And if there are university students, there's a KGK, that's Kirito Shagatsukai, that's a Christian Bible study group, and also Campus Crusade for Christ are there. IBA is for high school groups. They have Bible camp in summer and they do have activities during the week. And during summer, Bible camp is a great place to go. I kind of grew up in Bible camp during the summer, from high school to university. I always went to Bible camp for the whole summer. I made a lot of friends all over Japan. So I would change. I didn't even have email that day, but I would send letters and, you know, contact them. We had a reunion once in a while. So we could have those kind of networks, especially now with email and cell phones. That's very, very helpful. And of course, JCFN, they have good networks here and in Japan as well. So encourage them to be in those outside church connections. And the second one, this is what I do in my home church. Let them know that they are the chosen ones among the difficult people. You know, just like Navy SEAL, you are the chosen one. God thought you are great. You know, these are the difficult people we're talking about, and God chose you to be one of His soldiers. All right, so God trusts you, and God is going to enable you to share the Lord, you know, to do everything that you need to do. So, yeah, just don't be discouraged. Number three, have them involved in their have them involve their church friends when meeting with other friends. You know, in that case, you will have at least one Christian fellow in your group. And if you're a pastor or a leader, we need to show our understanding about their difficult position. I found that being a minister, being a pastor, is very different from being working, you know, working in the world. I worked 8 years in Japan, so I'm kind of seeing the both sides. There are a lot of pressure out there. We do the same thing. We do share the gospel as pastors, but it's normal to share gospel as pastors because they kind of understand, yeah, you're a pastor, that's what you're doing. But if you're not the pastor and you start sharing faith, they're like, what are you? Why are you talking to me? You know? So there are a lot of pressures out there. And pray for them daily, you know, for protection of their faith, for courage and wisdom, and for God's intervention as they witness and grow as Christians. Of course, in conclusion, I'm just going to leave through this. Of course, these are not all barriers that are there. However, these are part of the most common cultural barriers we see among Japanese. But this is nothing new to God. Paul has visited Athens, a place full of different cultures and different religions. And when Paul preached the gospel, many responded indifferently. Okay? Paul's preaching was foreign to these people, and Paul was facing the cultural barriers. So it was nothing new. Well, the question is, are any of these barriers unbreakable? The answer is big no. None of these barriers are higher than the wall of Jericho. Remember, there are Christians in Japan. Okay? If there's no Christian in Japan, maybe we can give it up. But there are Christians in Japan, which means we can break these barriers. And Satan has built many barriers, but we have Almighty God, and nothing is impossible for Him. And as we take appropriate approaches to these barriers, God will take the walls down, like He did in Jericho. So, we can pray for that. Any questions? Any comments? We're 10 minutes behind, but I think I gained 5 minutes. any questions? Comments? Yes, sir.
I was going to ask you while I know what you're talking about, the formality and the kind of... Do you feel that the missionaries are maybe more formal, that reach the Japanese better, or what's your take on that?
The missionaries are more formal. As opposed to...
Well, you're talking about their reservations,
yeah,
and whatnot.
Yeah. Are missionaries more formal? I'm not quite sure. It depends on what age they are. But, like, when I went to church, well, I went to the home meeting of a Canadian missionary, and at that point, contemporary worship songs were not so popular, so he used Seika, that's a little bit casual version of the traditional hymn. So he was contemporary in a sense. So these days, I don't know what all missionaries are using, but I think they're both formal missionaries and informal missionaries. ECC Campus Crusade staff, they are very informal. Church planting missionaries, I think it all depends on their generation and what kind of church background they're from. So it's hard to give you a clear-cut answer or generalized answer to this. But you still can make different, you know, different way of approaching it. Did I answer your question?
Sorry. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Any questions? Okay. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And we're dealing with these difficult people groups, but, wow, before you, nothing is difficult, Lord. And we are so thankful that we are working for you and we are working with you. And you are working with us. And because of that, we have hope, Lord. And we are so thankful that you are using us and you are giving us this wonderful opportunity to meet these Japanese people. I'm sure you have great plans for Japanese people, and we are waiting for you to do the brand new thing, as you said in Isaiah 43:19. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.